Burn Line Podcast. The burn line on a well-crafted cigar is straight and sharp as a razor, much like our wit and wisdom.
Crabs.
Are you ready? Is the world ready? And we are not live. You're listening to Burn Line Podcast, coming to you from the Hot Box, the smoky back room where deals are struck and fortunes are made adjacent to the Rocky Patel Cigar Lounge, nestled amongst the complex of rooms that comprise Davidus Cigars, Westminster, Maryland, USA. The only Rocky Patel Cigar Lounge in the state of Maryland for now.
For now.
We are doing a couple things today. So we are smoking the Tabernacle Night Commander. And this cigar is special. We will kind of talk about it in just a little bit. But since it's a cigar show, as usual, we want to cut it, light it, and all of that. But we usually admire it a little bit first, because we're about to, like, wreck it.
Yeah.
And then later on in the show, we are going to break into this VSOP cognac and talk about this new release and some other stuff. So why don't we go ahead and get started? So looking at the Tabernacle Night Commander, first of all, the band comes right off. This is a Figurado.
Yep.
And it has the Connecticut broadleaf wrapper that Foundation is famous for. And what I like about, as ironic as it is, the Connecticut broadleaf looks like something that a fucking, like, Aztec king was buried with.
Yeah.
You know, like, absolutely. Like, rustic. You know, I hate that.
Yeah, it's so overused. This is darker, like, too, than most Connecticuts.
Well, first of all, it's Connecticut broadleaf.
Yeah.
You know, not Connecticut shade.
Right.
It is a different strain, but also it's Maduro, like, mm-hmm. all of their stuff.
I like it.
I love it, but it definitely, like, this looks like Indiana Jones is looking for some secret temple
yeah.
in South America, and the natives hand him this.
Right.
You know.
Unbanded, of course.
Unbanded, yes. So, that's my major takeaway is,
yeah. you know,
rustic, has this vibe of, like, fucking Amazon jungle.
Right. It's a little too rustic for the price point, though. I will give it that.
I think it is way too rustic for the price point. So, $45 here in Maryland. You know, that includes taxes.
Yeah.
Here's a couple of things. Glue spot from the band.
Mm-hmm.
That shouldn't be there.
Negative.
Little crack and tear here. The top of the cap, I think I'm going to cut that off when I clip it, but it's not stuck.
Right, it's just there, yeah.
Down here at the foot, more of that. And then a couple of places where the leaf wraps around where I'm questioning if it's going to stay together.
So, like, look at that vein. Like, just follow that vein, and
yeah,
that's...
you got a big-ass vein with
I don't... in it. Here, let me see if that your camera will pick it up or not.
No, it's not worth... the lighting is wrong, but...
That's what I'm... That's some points right there.
Well, let's see how they smoke. Also have a little mouse hole mm-hmm. as well in my wrapper. Let's see how they smoke, but yes, agree with you completely. See that split right there?
Mm-hmm.
For this price point,
yeah.
forget about it.
Company,
it just shouldn't
price
be,
point, and yeah. quality that I'm used to with them, this is yeah. not good right off the bat.
I don't think it should look like this.
No.
Hard Vitola to roll.
Yes, agreed.
No fucking excuses, frankly. All right, so that's kind of what the outside of the cigar looks like. A little bit of a hold on, you know, because there's cigars half the price that are much finer than this.
Right.
That doesn't mean this won't smoke great.
Dude, I can smoke a Salmon for half this price.
Yeah. This is a 6¾ by 52, and like I said, it's $45
yeah.
here at Davidus Cigars in Westminster, Maryland. I've got blue paint under my fingernails.
Yeah. By the way, unbanded, this looks like your Monopoly Man cigar. A little bit.
Anyway, let's see how they smoke, and to do that, we're going to have to... So, yep. I'm cutting with my Craftsman's Bench, opening a double guillotine in gunmetal.
Yeah. And I'll be punching my... No, just kidding.
yeah. Straight I'm going to punch myself.
Yeah, I've seen that before. You know, they're like, it's not... Yeah, no shit, it's not working, dude.
Yeah.
God. Like, here, all right. Try this straight cut. That might help. Put a little angle to it.
And as always, we remind you to clip that cigar with authority. No limp-wristed cutting allowed.
And no, I was not making fun of a newbie. Like, this is a seasoned smoker. I don't know this person personally, but just
well, we're not making fun of anybody, but we are poking fun at the idea of using a punch on a Salmo.
Just shit.
Or like, any Figurado that has a torpedo mouth.
That's our new our next segment, too. Or new segment. Shit you see behind working behind the counter.
Yeah, yeah. Just fuck this. This is not the tobacconist tip of the week. This is the tobacconist shit. Gossip of the week.
Or
yeah.
Something like that.
All right.
It's Dottle.
And, yeah, it's remarkably firm. There's some odd give points in it. Randomly changes, like right here, super spongy. Mm-hmm. Interesting. A lot of the time that happens if the interior tobacco is hard, less pliable when they put it in the mold, mm-hmm. and it's just lumpy. And so the soft spot is like actually a little air pocket. But all right, it is time for the official lighting. And I am lighting up with my SD DuPont 2 Flame Double Flat Flame Gold Plated Fuck You Money Lighter.
Costco Gold Pour.
And Angel, if you say that joke one more time on the show, I'm going to fire you. It's fucking old. And you have got your single flame torch.
DDO, yeah.
Pretty representative of a fairly typical torch. And as always, we remind you to toast that cigar. Toasted, not roasted. Treat that cigar with the love and respect it deserves, and it will return the flavor.
By the way, I don't know if you do this. I give an angled cut on these types of sticks just to get a little bit more surface area.
I don't. I cut mine straight, and I don't cut much off because I like a tight draw, and then if it's too tight, I cut it again.
Yeah.
That's hard to do if you cut it in an angle. So. And, of course, with the Salamone Vitola, it kind of sucks because you light it up, and then you got to let it sit and burn.
Yeah, I'm already tunneling here.
That's not a tunnel. It's just
It's just the end of it. But
it's just sure. How these... I don't like it as a shape. Mm-hmm. So you got to kind of burn off that fucking nipple on the end.
Got it. I was trying to smoke it out, but wasn't going to work.
I got to wait and see. Like, I can't even fucking draw any air through. It doesn't even draw. So
right off the bat, man, just barnyard. Like, straight up barnyard.
Yes, but I think that's because you're not getting any smoke.
Right.
I think I'm getting more... We got to burn the nipple off.
I think we're getting, more filler and binder and wrapper?
Totally, but also you're getting a lot of air and not mm-hmm. smoke at all. All right, so let's let these sort of burn to where we can actually smoke.
Yeah, check that out. Look at how much fucking room there is.
Okay.
This goes pretty far back.
So, this is the Tabernacle Night Commander. So, Foundation Cigars... Well, let's talk about Foundation Cigars. So, which company was he with? Was it Drew Estate? Well, the guy that started Foundation, he's got a long history in the industry. He decided to do his own thing and is famous for making strong, delicious Connecticut broadleaf Maduro broadleaf wrapped cigars. And I think he's branched off into using Pennsylvania broadleaf as well for his wrappers. And, of course, they're definitely rustic compared to your traditional wrapper leaf.
Mm-hmm.
Foundation has a Tabernacle series, and it has a lot of, like, Masonic symbolism and, like, mystical Middle East stuff. So the Knight Commander is interesting because it pays homage to...
Commandery. Literally Commandery.
What?
Commandery. Knight Commander. Commandery. Knights Templar. That's what it's called.
Yes. No, it pays homage to the Ethiopian. Mm-hmm. So the Ethiopian Crown Council awarded Malio the honor of Tabernacle Knight Commander. Mm-hmm. And The order was established by Emperor Menelik in 1889 as an order of knighthood of the Ethiopian Empire, blah, 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 blah.
Yes, Drew Estate.
And yeah, that's what I thought, Drew Estate, yeah. Thank you, thank you. So, yeah, Nick came from Drew Estate. Anyway, the upshot of it is all of the proceeds go to Ethiopian charities. Okay, so this is an expensive cigar, but consider that it's going to charity, good charities, right? So, and I'm not skipping over, shitting over the story. It's kind of interesting, but the Ethiopians, you know, they have this, like, it's like a civilian award thing, just like, what do they have in Great Britain? What do they have?
The, besides knighthood, the Sirring?
They have a few. Yeah. And then in the U.S., we have, what, the Presidential Medal of Honor, the Congressional Medal of Honor.
Congressional Medal of Honor is open to both civilian and military.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Presidential Medal of Honor is military only.
Military only.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's one of those types of things. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there's the story that the Ethiopians have the fucking Ark of the Covenant.
Which is so cool. That's so cool.
Yeah. Well, they also, like, there's a whole contingent of fucking ethnic Jews that live in Ethiopia and have since B.C.
And they're like, yeah, it's right here.
Yeah.
Their Ethiopians' religion is literally based around the Ark of the Covenant. They literally say they have it. So, I mean, you can't say they don't because the three following people that have protected it have cataracts.
Yeah, well, so, yeah, they do that on purpose so you can't see
Where's
anything.
Where's your tinfoil hat, man? You got to put it on for sure.
So, point being that there's this it goes in the tabernacle line super awesome because the whole tabernacle line is like this mystical Masonic symbolism, Middle Eastern.
Yeah, shit comes from the Bible and like,
And so, Knight Commander is this order or award, I guess. And they awarded it to Nicholas Melio. And he's celebrated with this cigar, and all the proceeds go to Ethiopian charity.
That's just so badass, by the way. So jealous.
Yeah, like, it's totally badass, you know.
It's like, fuck.
So that's the background of the cigar. And so there's an element of, it's kind of like the, was it the Legends, where the proceeds went to charity?
Yeah, yeah,
Legends. The Legends, where it's like, through 200-something for a cigar, fuck you. And then you're like,
oh, it's for charity.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's putting Nicaraguan kids through school, you know, and you're like,
giving them school supplies and clothes and food. I'm like, okay, all right.
And down there, it can actually put one through school, you know. Up here, it's like.
And the important thing is,
I got your new laptop for the
year. And the important thing is, not only is it for, like, regular education school, South America is literally facing a exodus of people, which includes their cigar rollers coming here.
Yeah.
So it's important that they teach the art, or else we're fucked and no more cigars. Yeah. And bye-bye burn line. No more burn line. It's like,
well, no. We would have the American.
We'd have the American. And what, 20-acre farm?
Yeah, so.
A couple sticks.
Yeah. Everyone could do it. It's just cigars would cost $20 to $30.
Yeah.
And the good ones would be, you know, more than that. So,
so it's like, fuck.
Yeah.
All right, Swisher Sweets, here I come.
Anyway, this is a 6 3/4 by 52 Perfecto. The wrapper is Connecticut Broadleaf. The binder is San Andres. And the filler is from Esteli and Jalapa in Nicaragua. So Esteli is known for spicy, strong tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
Jalapa is known for less spicy, but still Nicaragua tends to grow strong tobacco. San Andres is known for earthy, dirty, fairly strong. Connecticut Broadleaf Maduro, strong. So this is like, you know, I expect this to be strong. We have burnt off the nipple, and we're getting, like, real smoke.
Yeah, I'm starting to get stuff now.
So, couple of things.
Still
the draw is too tight.
Mm-hmm.
When Johnny Midas says the draw is too tight, the draw is too fucking tight.
It is too tight.
Because I'm the guy that likes it right on the edge of everyone else is like, eh. Right? So I'm clipping more off, and I put an angle on it for more surface area. Let's see how that does.
Still very barnyardy, though. Musty.
That's a little better. Okay. Yes. I'm not going to say Barnyard because that's way too generic. Yeah. Burnline Podcast, we are a cut above. So I'm going to call it what it is, which is Moldy Alfalfa.
Yeah.
Specifically Moldy Alfalfa. Yeah. I don't know how much time you spend on a farm.
Yes. I know. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. Moldy Alfalfa has a very distinct smell, and that is there with this. Along with that is rich earth it is straight up Mexican San Andres tobacco. Like, I can taste the binder.
By the way, can you taste the harshness, like, back here?
Yeah. This is strong.
Dude, this is a hell of a... Like, yeah. Whoa. Jesus. Not a breakfast cigar right off the bat.
No. Also, there is zero, like, sweet component. Mm. You know, cocoa, coffee, nope. That is not there.
So, if you're a Padron smoker, like an avid Padron smoker, this is, like, the next step up, and you're like...
Mm-hmm. This does. This reminds me of a Padron in like the strength and profile.
Yeah, but then it's like, boom, like next step up, like it gets harsher.
Mm. I would put it like this. I think this is the same strength level as a Padron 1926 35th anniversary.
Okay.
But it is harsher tobacco.
Yeah.
The Padron tobacco does not burn the back of your throat.
Silkier.
This does.
Yeah, that's...
It has a harsh element to it. Very interesting.
So if you have a sore throat, smoke this. It'll get rid of the virus.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So initial tasting notes, yes. Moldy alfalfa.
There's a slight vegetal. Very, very slight.
Dark earth, slight vegetal. You know what's fucking weird? I'm not tasting any pepper.
Mm-mm. It's supposed to be spicy somewhere.
I feel like we're gonna get it. Mm-hmm. Just looking at these tobaccos that are in here.
A hint of like... Damn it, I forgot the word. Like cocoa, but like unsweetened, just right off the... Like you just grinded the beans.
I'm not tasting that. Mm. I don't think I'm tasting that.
I'm getting a little bit of that.
Mm. Yeah, it's not vegetal. What it is, there is a... I'm going to call this... green corn shuck.
Okay.
You know, it's like the wrapper on corn. It's vegetable, but it's not
green.
Vegetal.
It's something green.
Yeah. Okay. And it's not green pepper. It's not bitter. It's green vegetable.
Yeah.
But not
like the bitter, harsh.
Yeah.
This isn't smooth either. Not like in a bad way.
Since I brought it up, there is a corn taste in here. And it's not sweet corn. It's almost like cornmeal.
Okay.
Maybe it's like a bready component starting to come in?
A little bit.
Corn. I don't like this slant cut, by the way.
No.
I just don't. It's like it... I can feel the difference between my top and my bottom lip, and it annoys me.
Oh. I was going to say, it's just... I know it helps me, because it's more surface.
Like,
snobby?
OCD. No, not snobby, just OCD. It helped me, too. I clipped more off, and I gave it more surface area, and I'm getting... It's still firm, even for me, but it's acceptable for Johnny Midas. I think a lot of people are going to be like, this is too fucking...
I think the best way for me to describe the cigar, it tastes like South America. Like a South American farm.
It really does. This reminds me of... Have you ever had, like, a local, like, puro? Did I give you one of those What is it?
Nika Rustic. Nika.
No, it was not Nika.
Not Rustic. That's the Drew stick.
Nika Puro?
Nika something, yeah. It was a generic stick.
You can only get it in Nicaragua. Mm-hmm. Can't get them here. And it tasted like 100%
local.
You know, second priming. You know? The wrapper is second priming and everything else is first priming.
Yeah, I'm not shitting on this. It just literally tastes like, hey, I'm in South America right now. Like, legit in South America.
I think it's burning too fast, especially for you, and I think that's because We're pulling so much fucking air in trying to get it to smoke.
Yeah, I like. Okay, so low smoke output.
Yeah, and it's hard to get the smoke out.
And I'm double puffing.
I feel like, yes, me too. I feel like for this blend, a Corona Gordo would be a much better Vitola.
Yeah.
Because especially nowadays, you know, when it was Cuba, it was like, this one, is your two, fucking three, size. Four. Yeah. And they're all the same, using the same molds and the state controls, everything. That's not the same anymore. You know, like, is it a Perfecto?
Yeah.
It's a Perfecto Plus.
They're literally making their own Vitolas, which is not a problem.
Like last week, you know. Last week, like, they're making up this Spanish word, and I'm like, just call it a fucking Corona.
Yeah, the Castilla. Yeah. Like, yeah. Nobody cares. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, I don't think the shape is great for the way the tobacco is burning. I think a shorter, fatter cigar where you could get some smoke out of it would really help.
Yeah, I think the enjoyment. This Vitola is kind of holding the stick back.
I think it is, yeah. I think it is. It's like trying to drink pudding through a straw.
Yeah.
Like, you can do it, but it's not ideal.
And just to note, like, changing the Vitola on this will change the profile a bit. So maybe, like, this is what he was going for, but I don't feel like the Vitola is helping the stick at all.
Anyway, they call it a Perfecto.
Okay.
So
weird.
I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I just go by what they call it now because...
All right, Perfecto.
Yeah, Figurado, Perfecto. Mm-hmm. So you have Parejo is any cigar that's a regular shape.
That we know now.
Figurado is anything that is not that tube with a cap end. Mm-hmm. So Figurado can be any fucking shape. But then you have Perfecto, which is kind of this. You have Presidente, which is kind of like a bigger... one,
not a Churchill, Churchill
is a Parejo that is long. So most Perfectos that I've seen are smaller than this.
Yep.
This is 7 inches long almost. But anyway, so enough bickering about what Vitola it is. The point is, I think a bigger ring gauge, slightly shorter, would serve it well.
Yeah,
To get enjoyment out of it. All right, so the title of Knight Commander of the Ethiopian Star of Honor was given to Nicholas, and so this is in honor of that, and the proceeds go to Ethiopian charities, so you feel good smoking this cigar, and, you know, it's expensive, so this is one, you know, there's no cello on it, which, you know, Cubans don't have cello, and it's, frankly, a non-cello wrap is associated with a high-end cigar. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not true that much anymore. Like, a lot of people are using cello because, one, it stops tobacco beetles, and two, post-COVID, everyone is really concerned about...
I mean, most of your health. Opus X has come in cellos now.
Yes, yes. And there was a time they didn't.
Right.
I'm looking through my collection, it's like 2014, 2015, and then all of a sudden, boom, they're all cello. Cello.
Yeah. And this is just to note, cello makes a difference in the secondary market.
It does. Yeah. So... my cigar is opening up a little bit now.
Mine's still too tight, man.
Still too tight. Mine's opening up.
I'm not cutting anymore because I know.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It's still too tight. Mine is still too tight, but it's very close to where Johnny Midas is, like, perfect draw. So it is opening up. I wouldn't, dude. This is a fucking brittle cigar.
Yeah.
I can hear it popping.
Yep. That's it.
Yeah. I wouldn't do that. By the way, humidity check. Mm-hmm. This is just about perfectly humidified, so that's not an issue.
Yeah.
Here, let me do something, though. Let me see if you have a tunnel. So it looked like a tunnel, but you have that nipple, so you can't tell. I'm going to cut your ash off.
All right.
Just hold still.
Oh, shit. You need to go further up. God.
Is there still a tunnel in it?
No.
Okay,
but that's hard.
But see how...
that's unburnt right there.
See how the center is not burnt? That's why I had to saw through it. I knew I would have to use my
official
Johnny Midas Leatherman Skeletool. So, yeah, there's a little bit of some burn issues here. It's kind of struggling to burn.
See if I burn myself or not.
Yeah, like the whole center of that, like the center of yours is not burning.
Hey, you opened it up, by the way. Thank you.
That's why I wanted to do that. I wanted to see if it would change it.
All right, here we go.
Because the tobacco is so stiff, but as soon as I knocked off the ash, it was... forming the nipple at the end.
Yeah, this is very tightly wrapped, by the way.
Yeah, I'm looking at that. I mean, I'm having trouble. The ignition in the center of my cigar is having a really tough time kind of catching to the binder wrapper.
Yeah, I'm going to have to let it sit for a minute because it's getting too hot.
Well, let's see. Yeah, it's about that time for Tobacconist Tip of the Week. So why don't we do our socials and surprises? Yes. And starting with socials, of course, we are on social media, and we are relying on all of you out there in the interwebs to get the word out because there is a crusade
against... Literal crusade.
Yes, against tobacco, including fine cigars right now. In the interwebs, YouTube in particular is cracking down. So, good news, we are now posting our videos on Spotify, yep. Which Spotify is a much more friendly free speech company.
Everything.
than YouTube is. So, you can now catch our videos on YouTube or on Spotify. And the good news about Spotify is if you're in the car commuting, you can listen to the audio. And if you're not, you can pull up the video. You know,
best
I do that.
Best of both worlds.
Yes, best of both worlds. A great platform. We invite you to do that. Go ahead and like, subscribe, share, comment, and reach out to us. Yeah. Burnlinepodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what you want to see on the show, what you liked, what you didn't like, questions you might have, and we might even read your email on the show. We've had some good ones. We've had some that, you know, I didn't read on the show because they're just kind of rambling and, you know, using modern, like, IDKs and, you know, stuff like that.
We've answered them, but yeah.
Yeah, so continue to reach out. Burnlinepodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, our views are going up on Facebook, just not enough interactions, but...
Yeah, I'd like to see more of that. And, of course, we have Instagram and Facebook are our two main... Mm-hmm. things. I'm thinking about restarting the X thing because we can, I guess, post videos on there too now.
Yeah.
And of course, they're the ultimate free speech platform.
Yeah, X is starting to revolutionize a bit. So yeah. We'll see.
We'll see how that goes.
Not Threads. Fuck Threads.
One thing at a time. We just got multicam set up. sort of working out the kinks there. But we're trying to make it the best experience for our listeners as possible. And of course, we are smoking the Foundation Tabernacle Night Commander 6.7 by 52 Perfecto, featuring a Connecticut broadleaf wrapper, a San Andres Mexican binder, and fillers from Jalapa and Esteli in Nicaragua. Very strong cigar so far. In terms of socials, we had a new comment on Spotify. Yay. See if I can pull that up. All right, so why don't you show us this?
Yeah, while you... we wait for that.
Show us this special that you got here.
All right, so this is the new Cohiba Weller, or Weller by Cohiba. So 2024, here it is in all its glory.
Nick and I smoked last year's on episode 6 of Burnline Podcast. Mm-hmm. So
was it last year or the year before? Year before.
Was it the year before?
22, yeah.
It was the last version that came out.
Yeah, 22.
So the second version. The first version was blended while they were talking about that. That's Mike from the Carroll County Chamber of Commerce. Hey, Mike.
Hey.
Welcome to the podcast.
Awesome.
So the original one, they were drinking Weller while they blended it.
Mm-hmm.
The second one, they actually like aged it in Weller barrels mm-hmm. or something like that. And then this is the third iteration, correct?
Yeah.
So it's all new. And this retails for $32.49 here at Davidoff Cigars in Westminster.
Yep. Debuted in 21.
A box of, what is it, 10?
10.
And
yes,
there are two goes. Open that up.
Let's go. So this
retails
is cool shit.
For $2.91, which is a savings of $32, so 10% off.
So here's the top of
the
box.
Oh, this looks like a Fuente story. It's got the fucking fake leather inside. This is gorgeous.
And then it's got the felt. By the way, there is a magnet on the felt.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wait, never mind. I thought it was. But it, like, clings really well. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's not felt. It's suede.
Suede.
It's artificial. It's not real leather. But.
So, Weller by Cohiba. And then it says, experience luxury.
Yep.
And then we slip it out.
That
by the
is...
way, there's nothing but foam in here to protect it.
Yeah, yeah.
I like the matte finish.
Yeah.
This is cool shit.
The blue and the gold. We'll show the camera. Don't show me.
Yeah.
That it's black got the, is cool the gold, shit. Yeah. Weller by Cohiba.
And then it opens right there.
And Tubos again. Oh,
yep.
Nice. Those
Tubos,
are sharp looking Tubos.
QR code.
Yep.
get the story. So, and then it tells you the deets about the stick here. Wrapper, Ecuadorian Sumatra. Binder, USA Broadleaf. Aged in Weller, foolproof bourbon barrels. Filler, Piloto Cubano, Honduran La Entrada, Honduran Jamastrian, Honduran OSA, Nicaraguan Esteli, Ligero, and Visa. Dude, that is a lot. And then, since it's collectible, there is a lot number, 10-A-19. So if you buy the box, you're getting like a collectible.
Now, we were talking about collecting cigars last week, how to get into it, how to think about it. And one thing you can do that I do, it's beautiful.
So, in cello.
In cello, in the tubo. Yep.
Dude, check out that wrapper, though. That's pretty as shit. Yeah, I would just...
That is pretty, yeah. So, one thing you can do is you can collect collabs between liquor and cigars, and I have a collection of these. So, I have a bottle of M81 blackened bourbon, and I have an M81 blackened cigar, and it's displayed right next to it, and you can put that in your man cave or home bar or whatever. And the Weller Cohiba is an opportunity to show off a Weller. And
so this is going to taste a little like Weller. It is a 6x50 Toro.
And
32 and a half.
Which Weller comes with the blue wrapper? It's not the Special Reserve, is the green label. But there is a Weller with a blue label on it. Yeah. So that would go better with this box, I think, even though it's a different color blue.
Does not say...
So, appreciate you sharing that with us. And by the way, if you want the entire box, you can pick up one of these here at Davidoff Cigars in Westminster or one of the other locations. Again, $291 for a 10-count tubo.
And then 32 a stick, 32 and a half a stick.
Yes. But, yeah, if you got a budget this Christmas and you want something special, man, this is gorgeous. Yeah. So, there you have it.
Collectible.
Why don't we go ahead and go to break, and when we come back, we will do our tobacconist tip of the week and then jump into the wrapper wars.
Let's do it.
And what is up, everybody? Johnny Midas here with my smoke of the week here at Davidoff Cigars in Westminster, Maryland. And this week, we are smoking the Perdomo 30th Anniversary Connecticut Robusto, retailing for $13.99. The 30th anniversary is amazing. Probably the best cigar that Perdomo has put out. And you have your pick here. As you can see, there's several Vitolas of the Connecticut. And then, of course, you have the Sun-Grown and Maduro available as well. And for $13.99, this Robusto is pretty satisfying and will deliver. I ranked it a 35, which is pretty good. So stomp on down, pick you up one, and smoke along with me. Johnny Midas, Smoke of the Week. And now your tobacconist tip of the week with Angel Solorio. All right, so we are back, and before you jump into your tobacconist tip of the week, I wanted to take some flavor notes because it has definitely changed a little bit.
Yeah.
Now that we're getting a little more air through. First of all, there is... quite a bit of leather now. So the moldy alfalfa has dropped off. The leather has picked up.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have pepper now.
Yeah.
So it's just black pepper. Not nothing fancy. And it's not severe, but it's there. So yes, some barnyard, some must, but the moldy alfalfa is gone.
Yeah.
It
did smooth up.
It did. And there's leather and pepper.
Yeah.
And it's so strong that, you know, there's a little element where it's like picking the flavors apart is challenging because, like, it's kind of burning
awkwardly.
The sides of the back of my tongue and my throat. Yeah. So it is strong, but it's also harsh. It's not like, you know, like with a padrón, it's so smooth and silky. It's like you can, like, chew that smoke up and then 2 minutes later you're like, oh shit! What did I do?
It's still not as harsh as those test sticks you have.
No. So no, it's not harsh like super cheap tobacco, but it is harsh.
Yeah. All right, so let's jump into this because I do need to ash. So while you're smoking, another good way to know that you're chiefing and smoking too hot is you'll get like this cone shape, like sticking up, and then that center is hard as pretty hard, like wood. So kind of like you had sawing through, and it also indicates uneven burn. So that will change the flavor profile and the way it's smoking. So that's one thing to keep in mind. You know, don't chief on it. Keep your cigar cool. Obviously not where it turns off or goes out, but...
Yeah, no, that is great advice. The whole point of smoking cigars, you want to keep it as cool as possible without it, the cherry going out.
Yeah.
That's how you get the best flavor.
And that heat will ruin the flavor because you're going to get more heat than you will flavor, like hot air. And
I'm going to add a caveat. This is different. What El Fumo is talking about in our Tobacconist Tip of the Week is different from the cone of excellence. Mm-hmm. So when you are rolling a cigar, it is intentional to put these slower burning tobaccos in the middle, and as you work your way out, they burn faster and faster. And so most cigars have a little bit of a cone when they're combusting. Now, people that know what the fuck they're doing, they burn evenly. It doesn't have to burn like that, right? But it is frequently a feature of rolling the cigar that way. That is not what El Fumo was talking about, and you can tell the difference when you're smoking a cigar.
Yep.
All right, let's thank you for that Tobacconist Tip of the Week. We have got this Bouillard Calvados Pays. I can't pronounce it. French. This is VSOP.
I'd like to take a stab at it once you're done there.
Double distillation. And check this out. I have got my shot glasses from Disney World Star Wars. These are the Baku shot glasses. They're identical. But one side has the rising moons and one has the bright suns. And so I got two so that I can display them next to each other in my shot glass collection.
Thank you, sir.
Sorry, it's Disney, so it's a toothpick holder.
It's okay.
All right.
By the way, Johnny Midas is mean and did not take El Fumo with him to Disneyland.
No, I took my family. Would you believe it? So a note about...
Oh, wow.
Cognac. So brandy is... whiskey that is distilled, well, it's not whiskey, it's brandy. It's a spirit that is distilled from wine. So you have grapes, you ferment them to make wine, and then you distill the wine to make brandy. If the grapes were grown in the Cognac region of France, and the wine was made in the Cognac region of France, and the wine was distilled into brandy in the Cognac region of France, then it is called cognac. So it is similar to the difference between bourbon and Kentucky straight bourbon, right? So to be bourbon, 51% corn, matured in new oak, charred oak barrels for a minimum of 3 years. You can call it bourbon, but if it's not done in Kentucky, it ain't Kentucky straight bourbon, okay? So in the same way, if you're out there, you know, and you want to bone up on your liquor nomenclature, all cognac is brandy. But not all brandy is cognac. You can make brandy anywhere, but if it's made in cognac, then it's cognac. Make sense? All right. So what is super distinct about cognac is it is incredibly fruity. It tastes like it came from wine. Syrupy and fruity. Now, it isn't a dessert like port or an aperitif, and which we will. We will pair port with a cigar at some point. But it is sweeter and fruity and has this delicious bouquet of fruits and stuff in there.
Oh, yeah.
You warm brandy up, it releases more and more fruit flavors. And so brandy glasses, which we're not using, are very thin glass. And a lot of the time, they don't even have a stem, just a short stem and a base, so you can slip your fingers through and cup it. And the heat from your hand, as it heats the brandy up, releases all of these aromas. So you don't use ice or anything. You're actually supposed to warm it up a little bit to really enjoy the flavor. And it goes so good with cigars. However, I think that it does deserve a little bit of a warning, which is it is very flavorful.
Yeah, it'll sneak up on you.
It'll sneak up on you, but you can really just completely mask the taste of your cigar. And so for me, brandy is a great, great pairing for a strong one-note cigar. So when we talk about flavor profile, we talk about simple, which is one or two flavors the whole way through. And then we talk about mid, which is, you know, there's more than two or three. They might drop out, but you're not changing flavors. And then complex, it's a flavor changer.
Yeah.
Well, what cigar can you think of that is awesome and delicious, but is simple in its flavor profile and strong? Every Padron ever made.
Every Padron.
Right? Yeah. Pretty much every Padron ever made. Well, you can totally razz that cigar by pairing it with brandy, because now you're introducing new, exciting, cool flavors, and the cigar is strong enough that you can still taste it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I think brandy serves so well in pairing with cigars, right? Additionally, most brandy is 80 proof. You don't see this cask strength, you know, like the bourbon market has been destroyed by these 100 proof plus. I mean, what, the last four bourbons we've had on the show
are all plus.
Over 100?
What's this? What proof is this again?
80. This is standard, you know, your standard proof mm-hmm. for spirits off the shelf is 80.
Yeah.
And I'm an 80 proof guy for bourbon or whatever. Because I drink with cigars a lot and I'm not trying to kill my fucking palate with the alcohol, I really think 80 proof is a great place to be at.
And I like a smoother drink anyway. I don't need it to burn the whole way down.
Okay, so, and now here's how this brandy is changing the cigar. Number one, obviously it's adding fruit flavors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? It is.
But also, I don't know if you noticed, all of a sudden, this hardwood campfire flavor came out of the cigar. Right?
Yep.
And so, brandy is really great for pairing with a strong, you know, fairly simple cigar, and adding character and flavor and everything else. So.
Yeah. I'm getting a little bit of a s'mores taste, not like a oh my god it's s'mores, but
it's
an introduction.
Yes, because the brandy is introducing sweet and it changes mm-hmm. the nature of what we're tasting. Side note, now that I am well into my first third, entering the second third, the draw is perfect for Johnny Midas. I think most people would still think it's on the tough side. I like a authoritative draw. But it's just about perfect for me. So that's pretty good. And smoke output is good. It's acceptable. So that changed. The quality improved dramatically after smoking, an inch and a half off of this 7 inches. Which is why I said from the get-go, a shorter, stubbier cigar would be much more enjoyable.
Yeah.
Or Vitola.
Dude, this is pretty good now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing to me how brandy can dress up a cigar. I do recommend, though, you know, and it's not just brandy, but if you're pairing alcohol with your cigars, you do kind of want to, you know, have a stronger cigar. Like, it's really hard to pair alcohol with, like, a Connecticut because you can't taste the cigar,
mm-hmm.
you know. You want to top off?
I'll take, like, half.
Don't put it on there because it'll stain everything. I can't pour.
That's good. Okay.
I told you I couldn't pour. All right. I might as well top mine off. All right, so let's get into rap awards. You know, part of what we do is smoke a cigar so you don't have to, and then you can smoke along with us, or you can decide, am I gonna spend $45, you know, dollars to save starving Ethiopian children or not? Is that still a thing?
Yeah.
Like when I grew up.
Yeah, that was a huge thing. The UNICEF and all that.
Yeah, that and quicksand was like a big deal in the 80s.
So, rapper wars, Biggie and Tupac.
Yes.
Oh, wait, wrong podcast.
That's part of our smorgasbord of podcasts.
Or should we talk about the Drake and Kendrick Lamar?
Not that kind of rapper.
Okay.
Not yet. So, part of what we do is education. And we love talking about cigars and hopefully educating everybody out there. And so let's talk about wrappers.
Yeah.
For starters, the wrapper is a big chunk of flavor in the cigar. Now, it depends on the Vitola.
Mm-hmm.
You like Gordos.
Yes.
I like Coronas.
Yeah.
For a Corona, the wrapper is probably 80%, 85% of the flavor is the wrapper. And for a Gordo, it's probably 65,
mm-hmm.
something like that.
Yeah.
So it is a huge flavor component. Also, the wrapper has to have physiological characteristics. It has to be reasonably elastic and behave, we put it around the cigar needs to shrink down over it and hold it together, and not all leaves can do that.
Right.
Right? By the way, you know, Foundation is famous for their Connecticut broadleaf and now Pennsylvania broadleaf wrappers. Did we smoke the Olmec on the show?
Yes,
yeah,
we did.
That's Foundation. Yeah. And that's Pennsylvania broadleaf?
Yeah.
So the broadleaf is famous for not being a wrapper leaf.
Mm-mm.
Right, because it's not super pliable. It's ugly, you know. So you're looking at how does it look, how does it taste, and then physiologically, can it actually hold a cigar? Right. Right? So it's such a big deal that to this day, the only people that grow a Dominican Republic wrapper is Fuente,
mm-hmm.
and it was a fucking passion project, and I think it took 10 years. To develop both the soil and the seed to the point where they could use it as a wrapper leaf. And that has to do with the climate, you know, in the region. But it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Now, it's also fucking expensive. Like
it is the most expensive part of the cigar.
Yeah, like the wrapper leaf, that leaf costs more than the filler. Right? Like, so you have all this tobacco that we're smoking, and this one leaf that's wrapped around it cost more for the producer than all the filler.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And so wrapper's super important to the cigar. It's how it looks, how it smokes, how it tastes. Wrapper.
The wrapper, when it comes to construction, is the only part of the leaf that gets more hands on it than any other part of the tobacco.
That too.
Yeah, because like in most companies, I want to say 99% of the companies, all wrapper leaves get physically checked before it becomes a wrapper.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I posted on our story on Instagram a video from West Tampa Tobacco, from their factory, of actually rolling a cigar.
Okay.
So for our listeners out there, if you want to see video of how cigars are made, West Tampa Tobacco has some fucking fire social media. Check them out on Instagram. You can see, you know, like the difference between wrapping it and binding it. And bunching it, right?
Yeah.
So you got to bunch it, and then you put it in this cool little machine that like rolls it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's a manual slider,
like a
thing.
Roller thing. Yeah.
It's like a cloth that, like it turns it into a tube, and you know, and then puts the binder over it. You can see them lay out the binder leaf, and then put the filler in. It's super cool. And then those things, they go like down a production line. Usually, you know, old school, they go in a box, and the box is passed around, you know, by hand or slid across a table, and then you put the wrapper on, right? So with wrappers, like, here's what's super cool. If you go back to anything before the 1940s, if you bought a cigar in America, it had basically a candela. It was green.
Yep.
So they were taking their wrapper leaf, and they were wrapping the cigar with it, and they were selling it, right? Now, the Cubans invented the art form of aging, fermenting these wrapper leaves. And, of course, it's expensive because you're sitting on a fucking harvest. You're not selling it. So what was the cigar we were talking about somebody's coming out with in the Cigar News of the Week last week where they're like a 10-year-old wrapper. I think it was Plasencia, 10-year-old binder, and the binders from San Andres, and we're like, shit.
To be clairvoyant, 10 years ago, hey, San Andres.
Nobody was buying San Andres tobacco, which we're about to talk about. But the Cubans invented this art form to make the cigar so delicious. And so, you know, starting with the 40s, 50s, into the 60s, you had primarily Cuban cigars.
Yep.
You know, there were cigars in other countries. I mean, the Hondurans. So my, ¿cómo se dice? Abuela?
Yeah.
Is that sister-in-law?
No, that's grandma.
No, that's grandma. Cuñada.
Yeah.
Yeah, mi cuñada es de Honduras. And you want to talk about us? They're tribal. Her brothers are bigger than me.
Oh, shit.
They're like 6'4", fucking 280 pounds. Although she's fucking tiny. But, you know, she has a master's degree in Honduras, and she did the whole I'm coming to America thing for a better life. But she talks about, you know, like, they have stories, but they were making cigars before Columbus landed, you know, with Piloto, which all that means is, like, the local.
Yeah.
Whatever. And so you had Honduran puros before cigars were an industry, and they were smoking them. You can get those everywhere. But in terms of like fine cigars where they're carefully selecting filler binder, even coming up with the filler binder wrapper recipe was Cuban. It was developed in Cuba. Before that, it was, yes, the construction was still filler binder wrapper, although many cigars was only filler binder, and whether you call that a binder or a wrapper, mm-hmm. it was just filler with a wrapper around it, right? And the Cubans realized, like, wait a minute, we can dramatically improve the quality of your smoking. The binder holds it together,
yeah.
and then the wrapper we're putting all this extra effort into and expense into, and it's going to be fucking delicious, and people would pay for it now. Because up until that point, you know, cigars were just tobacco products. Yeah. People had pipes, people had cigarettes, people had cigars, and there was nothing special about them. And they were even, cigars were even associated with peasants and like blue collar and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until the Cubans said, hey, we can turn this into a luxury product, right?
Yeah.
And so up until the 60s, that's kind of what you're looking at. And then, of course, you had Castro, right?
That guy.
Yeah, that fucking guy. And so what happened was you had this diaspora, all this talent, the fucking, the Plasencias, the Fuentes, the Padrones, fucking Zeno Davidoff, although he made cigars in Cuba for a long time, until like, what was it, the 90s?
Yeah, we talked about it.
Yeah. You had Avo Vazion, same thing. Almost the inverse thing, where he wanted a fucking nice cigar, but he didn't want to pay Cuban prices.
Right.
And so he came up with this thing. That was before Davidoff bought them out. That was the 90s. That was 94.
Something like that.
I think, or 97.
Yeah.
And so all of this talent went around the world, right? And they had to, in some cases, to start from scratch. Now, I heard Carlito Jr., Fuente, who currently runs the company, telling a story, and he was saying they were making these cigars, and somebody told him, or told his dad, because he was still young, but told them, like, you're not a cigar manufacturer, you're a cigar assembler. Because they were getting their tobacco, and especially their wrapper, from other countries.
Yeah.
And he was like, fuck, I want to be like Cuba, where it's like, this is a Cuban cigar. That was the birth of the Opus X dream, and everyone said he was going to fucking fail. And, you know, the family took a chance and let him spend millions of dollars to come up with this Dominican wrapper, and the Opus X is the result, which is a great cigar. I like it. And Nick and I smoked one of those on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And we also did the story unboxing.
Yeah, the story.
I've got another one.
Nice.
We're going to do it. Yeah, I got another Opus X story
okay.
box. We'll save that for the holidays or something.
All right. Holiday special.
Yeah. All right. So what happened was, you know, you had this diaspora and now you can get tobacco from all these different regions, but a wrapper leaf is fucking hard. You have to have the right soil and climate and everything so that it physiologically presents in a way that you can make a wrapper out of it. Now, we commented before we started smoking this, it's fucking ugly,
mm-hmm.
right? Rustic is the polite term. But it's just ugly. And there were some quality issues
yeah.
right off the bat. That's because broadleaf is not super elastic and, you know, doesn't go around shapes like this very easily. By the way, a box-pressed Parejo is a great mold if your wrapper is broadleaf.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have to go around a lot of curves, and the box press actually, like, compresses it a little bit.
Yeah.
And tames it a little bit. So what ended up happening is people are using wrappers, and Nicaragua was probably the go-to place for wrappers. And then prices start to get tough. And so as a manufacturer, again, the most expense in many, many cigars, most cigars, not your high-end ones because they have extra margin padded in there, but like your $10 smokes, your wrapper leaf is often more expensive than all the other tobacco combined. And probably not in a cigar like this because it's a San Andres binder. We'll talk about that. But that's very frequently the mm-hmm. case. And so they're balancing like the cost of the leaf with the deliciousness of the cigar,
mm-hmm.
right? And so people are always on the lookout for a region that has like cool tobacco right, that is still affordable because nobody knows about it, about the region. And so back in the 20-teens, really 2017 was the breakout year, because that was the year that Crown Heads released the Juarez, which was widely available and had a Mexican San Andres wrapper, but San Andres, Mexico. They were not known for high-end tobacco or wrapper leaves, and they decided to change that, right? Now Mexican San Andres, people brag about it, and it's getting expensive, right? And so back in 2017, you had, I think it was an $8 or $9 Juarez, and back then that's like, that's mid-tier.
Yeah.
That's not a cheap cigar. No. Now it's like finding a $9 cigar, you know.
Good luck.
I mean, yeah, like it's challenging. So that's a region where people found out, hey, they decided we're going to grow fucking wrapper leaves. We're going to grow high-quality tobacco. And people jumped on it, and then now everyone's trying to buy it, and they're sold out, basically. And so the price is going up, right? Mm-hmm. Another region that has emerged is Pennsylvania. And so this was around 2005, I think, that the Amish and also Mennonite tobacco farmers up there realized, we're fucked. Like, the government has a fucking vendetta against cigarettes, mm-hmm. you know? And so they decided, you know, to sacrifice the next 10 or 12 years converting fields over to cigar tobacco, mm-hmm. which, you know, the method for growing cigarettes, like, it's 100% organic. You can't use pesticides, anything like that. Believe it or not, you can use a lot more shit on cigarette tobacco.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably why people are getting cancer. You know, the it's the extra... It's not the tobacco. Like, the Native Americans were smoking tobacco for centuries. They weren't dying of fucking lung cancer, you know?
Yeah.
Pass the peace pipe.
Yep.
Yeah. But in any case, they invested, and now Pennsylvania broadleaf is amazing tobacco. Yeah. Really made, like, people are fighting over buying Pennsylvania broadleaf. Mm-hmm. And so, again, the price is going up.
Yes.
Right? Now, Foundation is one of the few companies that is making a Connecticut broadleaf wrapper. And one of the reasons for that is most of the Connecticut tobacco, like, it is two big families, two big farms. It, there used to be, like, even 30 years ago, there was, like, 30 or 40 mm-hmm. farms, and there's just not, like, they just can't compete. And so Connecticut broadleaf hasn't just not been pursued that much, both as a wrapper for aging or just for filler. They're getting a little bit of attention too, but it's only because Connecticut broadleaf sounds like Pennsylvania broadleaf. Mm-hmm. But the Amish really changed the game for American tobacco. And so now that's expensive, right?
Yep.
So where are wrappers coming from now? Affordable, delicious wrappers. Right now, the fucking go-to is Ecuador.
Yeah.
So it's funny because, you know, can you think of an Ecuadorian cigar company or factory off the top of your head?
No.
Right. How many people can?
Yeah.
Right? So just go slow enough so that I can answer, but start naming off cigar companies.
So, Plasencia, obviously.
Nicaragua.
Yeah. Arturo Fuente.
Dominican Republic.
Yep. Padron.
Nicaragua.
Yeah, Perdomo.
Nicaragua.
Nicaragua.
What else? La Palina.
Nicaragua.
I think so.
Yeah, some Honduran.
I was going to say, they have a Honduran factory, don't mm-hmm. they? So, Davidoff, Dominican Republic, you know, like, you can just go around the horn and, like, Ecuador doesn't come up, but they're growing fucking wrapper leaves. Mm-hmm. Ecuadorian Sumatra is far better than any Sumatra, and, you know, everybody has their own taste, I get it, but for me, I fucking hate Indonesian tobacco. Right. I cannot stand the taste of actual Indonesian Sumatra tobacco.
But Ecuadorian Sumatra is shit.
Pretty good. Ecuadorian Carojo, Ecuadorian Criollo, Ecuadorian, you name it, Connecticut. There is Ecuadorian Connecticut shade. There is Ecuadorian Connecticut broadleaf. Yeah. They are growing tobacco from all over. There is Ecuadorian Cameroon. So this is the new thing where you have cigar companies. This started this year. There was a little bit in 2023 of companies selling a Cameroon, and you read it and it's like Ecuadorian Cameroon.
Yeah.
Right? Which, you know, the sun and the soil, like, that's the thing that makes the leaf the leaf, right?
Yeah.
But they're taking Cameroon seed and planting it in Ecuador and making a wrapper out of it, right? And here's what's really interesting. You don't see a lot of Ecuadorian filler. When was the last time you saw Ecuadorian filler?
It's been a while. I don't think I've seen... Yeah.
Ecuador is specializing in wrappers, and they're growing rapidly for everybody.
Like, it's crazy. It's fucking everywhere. Cool. My introduction to Ecuadorian wrapper was the... I know you're not a fan of them, but the bronze by Esteban Carreras.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of Carreras. We had the guy on the show, the rep. And there's a couple that I'll smoke, but I... Honestly, I haven't bought one with my own money in forever. Yeah. But yeah, so Ecuador is producing buku wrappers. I mean, most of your Fuentes, Ecuadorian. They have Ecuadorian Cameroon.
Yeah.
And then Fuentes do have some actual Cameroon wrappers. Yeah. They have the corner on that market, but they have a ton of Ecuadorian Cameroon and Ecuadorian, like, Cubano Piloto. So
almost every company is using Ecuadorian.
There is so many Ecuadorian wrappers out there. If your wrapper is not Mexican San Andres, if it's not Pennsylvania broadleaf, there's a really good chance that it's Ecuadorian.
Yeah.
And of course, there's Nicaragua. Nicaragua has been making wrapper leaves for a long time. But again, they're not super competitive on price because everyone knows where to go and that they're good and all of that. And so my prediction is the Ecuadorian wrappers are going to go up in price.
Oh, yeah, they are.
And what would really hurry that along is if Ecuadorians started selling filler and binder tobacco, because now it can't be a wrapper, and there's only so many farms.
Yeah.
Right.
And then, but there is Ecuadorian binder and filler. Certain, I can't name them off the top of my head, but they're out there. They're out there.
It's just not that much tobacco, right? So that's kind of the state of the wrapper wars right now. The question is, what's next?
Yeah.
So I have a couple of predictions based on geopolitics and some moves that cigar companies have made, especially bigger ones. I think Costa Rica might be the next place they start sourcing wrappers for cheap, right? And this is partly based on some of the tobacco companies that have sort of set up camp in Costa Rica and the fact that, like, exporting out of Costa Rica is fairly geopolitically fairly stable and capable. Some other places to watch, though, Honduras, they cannot get their shit together with the gangs. I'll be honest with you, it's a little murdery down there right now. One of the reasons that my sister-in-law is up here is for that reason. You know, her parents were like, do you want to get raped and murdered?
Yeah.
You know, by the gangs? Then stay. You know, join our family hotel business. If you don't, go to America.
Yeah.
Find a big, strapping 82nd Airborne Sergeant to marry.
Yeah.
You know. So, if they can overcome that issue, because it's like mafia style. You know, it's not like El Salvador, where, like, they're fucking vicious animals. It's much more mafia style, where it's like, you know, we're less murdery, but you got to pay your tax. And if you don't, we're going to cut your head off and post pictures on social media and all that stuff. You know? If they can overcome that, I think Honduras could be a great source. But I think Costa Rica is positioned to be the next place that you start seeing specialty wrappers come out of for cheap.
Yeah, and then not that it's a wrapper, but Paraguay has entered the chat into the tobacco industry.
Yeah, tobacco world. It's really interesting, right? And one of the problems is we have some really mass exodus of talent. I mean, Peromo was just wrecked. They had so many people leave. But these Nicaraguans are leaving Nicaragua for America. And, you know, they can make a good living here. They make a good living down there because of the cost of living. You know, a cigar employee at a factory actually is really good. Like, you're upper middle class, you know. But you can get fucking rich in America. And more importantly, you can live pretty good in America and send so much money back home that your family's living like kings, like they're rich now, you know? And so that sort of happened. And so I think you might see some of these bigger companies especially just try to go rural and train the local population up.
I mean, they're building schools specifically for cigar rolling and just the cigar industry. Yeah.
So I can say, and Paraguay is very stable. Like that, that's a great country to target. I don't know anything about the climate though, and can you grow tobacco? But I know if you're looking for people that are willing to work and it's a good job and you can export and there's not a lot of fucking political turmoil and gangs and stuff, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
And then you have some countries that are just straight up off the list. Panama is off the list.
Mm-hmm.
It's never going to happen in Panama, and a lot of the reason for that is the Panama Canal and the like economy that's grown up around it. I think Peru is basically out. There are some areas there, but remember, most of Peru is high elevation where you can't grow tobacco well.
Their shtick is coffee.
Yes. And
cocaine.
And then the part that is more amenable to growing tobacco is like fucking rainforest Amazon basin.
Yeah, it's like your shit's just getting flooded.
And you know, the infrastructure's not there. And then who are you going to hire? Because I've been there. Mm-hmm. I went to Aguaruno. And they're literally natives with spears, you know. So they still have jungles out there.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get to, like, fucking, you know, Lima. It's a fucking modern city. You know, they have Michelin-starred restaurants. You know, you're not paying somebody cigar factory wages there. Like, they'd be making almost as much in the U.S., you know. So some companies are just out. You know, Chile, way too high elevation, mountainous, you know, whatever. So it'll be interesting to see how it evolves, but that's kind of the state of the wrapper wars right now.
Yeah.
And everybody's looking. You know, somebody discovered Mexican tobacco and said, this is the next big
thing. Yeah.
Somebody discovered Pennsylvania. Something's coming, and my guess is in the next 3 to 5 years, something's going to pop, and you're going to be like, oh, fucking German wrapper leaves, you know, or something crazy.
It tastes just like chocolate.
As long as it doesn't taste like sarin gas. All right, so
we're... Oh, God. Canceled.
Shit. All right, let's go to break, and when we come back, we will do our cigar news of the week. Don't go away. Cigar News of the Week with Angel Solorio. All right, so we are back on Burnline Podcast, and before we jump into the news of the week, I want to talk a little bit about this cigar again, because it is a cigar podcast, and this is the Foundation Tabernacle Knight Commander 6.7 by 52 Perfecto with a Connecticut Broadleaf Maduro wrapper. Mexican San Andres binder and fillers from Nicaragua, the regions of Esteli and Jalapa. And, you know, I'm halfway through. You're down into your final third.
Yeah, I'm in the final third.
I've been talking more. So let's do some quick flavor notes. Leather is very strong. Yep. There's a slight woody component. Pepper. And, hey, what's up, buddy? And I'm trying to filter out the flavors that are coming from the cognac. But that's pretty much... There's a little bit of wood in there. But
yeah, it's woodsy. Yeah. Still getting a little barnyard.
Yeah. Some barnyard must.
That's what I'm getting.
Leather and pepper.
Leather, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cigar news of the week.
All right. So since we're smoking Foundation ships the 2024 batch of Heitklare Castle Singer. It is one of the newest incarnations of the Heitklares. It is a 6 3/4 by 52 Perfecto made up of Ecuadorian Habano. So there it is.
Yep.
Wrapper and binder is a Brazilian Mata Fina and an undisclosed filler blend that includes tobacco that had been aged for 3 years. So it looks pretty good. 12-count box. Each cigar is $33. So
expensive.
That's normal for foundations, though. Like
they're foundations are sticks. They're high priced. Also, the Highclere Castle is a fucking kick-ass cigar. Yeah. Have we smoked one on the show?
We have not, but this thing's cool as shit. Like the box it comes in, it's like very Egyptian. So, but yeah, it's like if you're a foundation fan, there you go. Cigars International opens a new store in Jacksonville, so
that's gonna be interesting. Fun. Okay, yeah. I like it.
Some sad news, but gotta go over it. Jose Sayas, longtime Tabacalera de Garcia head and Matilde founder, passed away at 74.
Oh wow! I didn't. Yeah. Man, I'm hearing this fresh on the show. You got a prep a brother.
I know. I was gonna tell you, but you're like, no, save it.
Oh, yeah, that sounds like something I'd say.
So it's like, yeah.
Yeah,
we've lost what, like three or four big names in the tobacco industry this year.
It's just surprising to me because he was fairly young. You know, we lost, was it the Plasencia, the godfather?
Yep.
But he was like 90 something.
Mm-hmm. And then the guy who founded Nat Sherman.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he passed. He was also well along in age. So.
Yep. The Eliado Dia 71 Aniversario begins shipping to store. I haven't had an Eliado in a while. Mm-hmm. Like a long, long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
Uses, here we go, Ecuadorian Corojo 99.
Ooh, love that.
This is just going to be a theme. Ecuadorian, yep. Ecuadorian. Yep. And then a Mexican San Andres binder. There it is. Yep. Another one. And a filler that includes Dominican Corojo and Habano 92, along with Barrel Age, Havana Vuelta Arriba, or HVA. So, I'm going to get... It's like, damn, that's pretty cool. If you're an American... Like, that's a good way to get some Cuban leaf.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be fun.
Yeah, you won't be able to taste it over the fucking San Andres binder, though.
Yeah. So, Eddie Guerra leaves Davidoff.
Oh.
So that's interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's going to be leaving Davidoff of Geneva, USA. I'm not sure what he's going to be doing, but hey, he was a pretty big name, big deal in Davidoff, so I don't know what's going to change, honestly.
Probably nothing. It's a big corporate machine.
Yeah, so he's just going on, moving on to other things, so best wishes to him. H. Upman. I haven't had an H. Upman in a while. I think the 175th was like the last H. Upman I smoked.
Yeah, have we smoked an Upman on the show?
No. I think Day Trader, just for shits and gigs, we should smoke.
That was my smoke of the week. 1 week was the Day Trader. You know, it's the funny story about the Day Trader was, did you know it was supposed to be called the Crypto? So the H. Upman Banker is named the Banker because Herman Upman was a banker.
Banker. Yeah, they were bankers.
And he was like, I want fucking cigars for my bankers. And so they came out with and they're like, we need to update it for the 21st century. It was like, let's name it the Crypto. You know, that's the new banker thing. And I guess they thought that was too, like...
Bro-ish.
Yeah, and so they're like, we'll call it the day trader.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, if you're confusing banking with day trading, then I want to stay far away from your bank, but whatever, that's just me. But anyway, so...
H. Upman, the banker, Ingot Arbitrage, starts shipping as well later this year.
Ingot?
Or month. Yeah, ingot.
So, an ingot is like a chunk of metal, like
no,
golding.
Well, yeah, the gold bar, yeah, an ingot. In 2016 is when it was released. It was a limited edition, but this is the newest iteration.
Is it a special or is it a core line edition?
It's a special.
Okay, because the Day Trader is a core line.
Yeah, it's a core line now. Yeah. So it's a 7x56 double Churchill.
Good God.
Yeah, that's big. So here we go again. Ecuadorian Habano wrapper.
Ecuador and Habano is good fucking
it's
tobacco.
It's one of the best fucking
tobacco. It's a great wrapper.
And it's so cheap at the moment. At the moment.
Ecuador and Habano wrapper.
Like, and then use a Nicaraguan binder and fillers from Nicaragua. So there you go again.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a theme, Ecuador. You're going to be using... It's either Ecuador and San Andres. I think those are like my two favorite wrappers at the moment. And then the Arturo Fuente Hemingway Sungrown. You've had the other... What's the Hemingway?
Well, they've got a Hemingway. So they don't have a Hemingway Sungrown?
No, this is to only TAA stores, by the way.
Okay, so this is a TAA special. Okay, because the regular Hemingway has got a Cameroon. I can't remember if it's Ecuadorian Cameroon or just Cameroon wrapper. And it's a natural, which, you know, like, natural, sun-grown, what's the fucking difference? You know, like, we talked about that on
the show.
They're
all sun-grown, damn it.
Yeah, like, you have to
we need
sun.
The sun.
So,
yeah, there's two vitolas, 6x46 and 7x46, so just an inch difference.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's $10.95 for the 6, $11.75 for the 7, so
it's
a dollar difference.
Not bad. I'll tell you, like, one of the things I love about Fuente is their cigars are so good. If you like that, if you like that medium body, light floral aromatic, which I do, they have some great cigars, and they're still affordable. You know?
So, and again, Ecuadorian wrapper.
Yep.
Doesn't disclose all the other stuff, but...
Yeah, I'm sure it's the same Ecuadorian Cameroon. If they just left it on the stalk longer and called it a sun grown. I guarantee.
So, damn it. I should have grabbed it. But Alec Bradley Fine and Rare is at stores. It's here, obviously.
Oh, it's here. It's up by the cash register.
Yeah, it is by the
cash
register.
Come on down to Davidus Cigars Westminster and pick you one up. What are those running for?
30, 40?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I should have grabbed one.
So that's a once-a-year release, right?
6x54 Toro that uses Honduran over two binders, a Corojo 99 leaf from Trojes, and a Criollo 98 leaf from the Jamastrian Valiant. There are seven different fillers, Corojo 99, Jamastrian, yeah. Corojo 99 Esteli, Corojo 98 Trojes, and 98 Esteli, Jalapa, and Jamastrian. So
but that's the same complaint I had about the last one and the year before that, is like, it's overcooked. You don't need that many different tobaccos to make a good blend, right? And it's not that great of a cigar, to be honest with you. Like, for the price point, I don't think the value's there. But I still buy one every year because it's fucking collectible.
Yeah,
you know. So we were talking about cigar collecting. There's one, you know. And it's kind of cool. Like, I have all the years.
Yeah,
you know.
So that's what I got. But again, that's the theme. Like, just Ecuadorian. Yeah. I think it's ruling.
Yeah. Ecuador is where it is fucking at for rappers right now. All right, so, man, I can't believe how far along we are into this podcast, but it is time to rank this cigar. And we are smoking the Foundation Cigars Tabernacle Night Commander, a $45 Perfecto 6.7x52, and it retails for $45 here at Davidus Cigars Westminster. And 100% of the proceeds do go to Ethiopian charities, and it is named after the Knight Commander of the Honorable Crown, blah, blah, in Ethiopia, which Nicholas was awarded, which is super cool. No jealousy here whatsoever. But that is what we are smoking, and, you know, some quick finishing notes. Strong. I mean, Talk about strength on a 1 to 10. I'm going with a 9.
Yeah, 9. It is strong, man.
That's a 9. Maybe a 9.1.
Yeah, I don't think even I would smoke this for breakfast.
No. And then in terms of flavor, we have simple, mid, and complex. I'm going simple.
Yeah, simple. It definitely didn't change much.
It really didn't. I will tell you that pairing the cognac was a big improvement. Like, that was a good idea. You might want to consider that if you're smoking it. Started out rough. The first...
Inch.
Yeah,
it was the whole
The
inch.
First inch was fucking rough. At this point, though, I'm getting a good, clean draw, a good mouthful of smoke. It's burning at the right pace. All of that stuff sort of worked itself out. But it took the first third to kind of get there. And then the predominant flavor notes are leather and pepper.
Yeah.
It started out with this moldy alfalfa, and that must never really went away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's often, you know, that must is often associated with well-aged, well-fermented tobacco. But this was a little over the top. And then, you know, the last note on that I'll say is that the tobacco smoke itself is harsh.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it physically burns around the back of the sides of your tongue and your throat in a way that other very strong cigars from Plasencia and Padron don't do.
Yeah. This is just a really, really strong cigar.
It's strong, but it's harsh. Right. Not harsh like a cheap cigar, but getting there. And of course, at the price point, a lot of our listeners are like, all right, let's get down to it. So for presentation, I've got a 4.
Yeah.
the box is, it's okay. You know, it's nothing special. It's a, we don't have it here, but it's a wooden box, you know, kind of typical of Foundation. Nothing terribly special on the outside. The lack of a cellophane wrapper is kind of cool. But the band, just, it's okay. You know, it's a matte finish.
Yeah. Ethiopian colors.
Ethiopian colors. And then the wrapper is just fucking ugly. And it had holes in it, and it had splits. It's like ultra rustic. Yeah, like it was beyond rustic. It was just ugly. So I've got a 4 for presentation. What did
Agreed.
You have?
Agreed.
4?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll do that. And then construction. So I usually start with a 10 count off, right? So I've got to take points off for the fucking holy veins in the wrapper. I've got to take points off for the splits all over my wrapper, the mouse hole. Mm-hmm. I've got to take points off for the tobacco not being like adhered to at the top and bottom, even though the head of the cigar, I cut it off, obviously. I've got to take points off for the impossible draw for the first half inch.
Yeah.
First inch before it was even approachable.
Yeah.
And so I've got like a 6 on...
You know, that's what I was going to say, a 6. I'm not trying to copy you, but it's like 5-6 there.
Yeah. All right, price at 45. I've got a 2.
I was going to give it a 1, yeah.
I've got a 2 for price. This is a good, strong cigar. If you like flavorful, strong cigars.
I'm not sure about the price, though.
But $45, I'm sorry, this is a $12 cigar.
I don't know why it's that much. I mean, I guess for the charity part, but damn, dude.
I don't know. I know they have to cover their costs first, and then they want their donation to charity to be meaningful. You know, it's not like, after we took out our expenses, here's your 10 cents per cigar or whatever. But I have a 2 for price.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. If you want to try it, and you like strong cigars, go for it. If you want to contribute to Ethiopian charities, go for it. There's nothing wrong with it, but we're talking about value, and the value is just not there, especially when I can get a $17 Plasencia that is still strong and way better. And so that brings us to flavor, which is interesting because it's flavorful, but it's also very limited.
It is.
It's 3 flavors. Yeah. You know, it's like must, pepper, and leather.
Yes, it is simple, but it did change a bit, but it was just the same flavors.
And I think some of the change was just the fact that we could finally get air through the cigar. I almost don't count the first inch and a half, because I was fighting the cigar.
I was thinking like a 5.
Yeah, I think 5 is fair. It's right in the middle. It's good.
Yeah.
Nothing to write home about. If you like strong cigars, smoke it. You know? But it's also, you know, it's not like, oh my God, this is so delicious. No, it's like every other fucking strong cigar. Barnyard and leather and pepper, you know. All right, so that brings us to experience. There's a couple of things. First of all, the getting it to perform like a cigar was a bad experience. You know, the initial light, the first inch was just terrible, and the first third was almost throwaway. I think this would have benefited from a Corona Gordo. That would be the best Vitola for this blend.
I don't really see much use case for it either.
Use case is terrible. You could gift it to somebody, but it isn't beautiful and fancy like, hey, you're having a wedding or you got promoted. You know, no, you're going for Davidoff or something, you know. So that's limited. You're not doing fucking anything with it at $45. You're not risking that. You're not giving it to a friend. You know, oh, you came here, take a cigar out of the humidor. Have a fucking burn of 50. You know, so the ability to experience it is super limited. And it's so strong, man. You sit down, have a meal.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Not walking the dog. Yard work.
No.
Football game, out the question. Grilling, out the question.
Here is what was kind of good about the experience is it does have this, like, mystical component where it's like, if you're a tinfoil hat guy or you're... you know, swapping conspiracy theories, or you just want to feel like a fucking, you know, mystic or something, it does have a vibe to it.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's...
the story. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of cool for what it is.
Hey, man, they got the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just tobacco that was inside the Ark, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Aged in the Ark. From 5000 BC. So, All of that to say that, and I am pouring myself some more. Do you want some more?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Because it dramatically improves the experience. But overall for experience, I don't want to tell you my number. You tell me your number first.
I was going to say 5.
5 out of 2.
Okay.
So we're going to split the difference and go with a 4 on that one. And that brings the total score to 21.
Yeah, not that it's a terrible stick. It's just...
Hey, we rank objectively on these categories. And, you know, fighting with a stick this expensive,
Maybe knocking $10, maybe knocking $10 off of it might help it. But other than that...
As a foundation... And by the way, I'm a huge foundation
fan. Yeah, same thing. Dude, the Omic's dope.
Yeah.
The Tabernacle's dope.
But you're getting into those cigars for $15, you know? Yeah. 3 times the cost. It's not 3 times better. It's not twice as good. It's not 1.5 times as good.
It's not a limited edition.
It's not better.
Yeah.
It's just not better. Right? Yeah. And so it's like, well, just pick up that Olmec that we smoked and you get the foundation experience.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a better cigar.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, you know, that's the thing that we bring to the conversation in Burnline is, man, we're not bought and paid for.
No.
We're just two dudes. I've been smoking cigars for 2.5 decades. You're a certified retail tobacconist. Yeah. And we just tell it like it is so that consumers can be more knowledgeable and protected. And so there's no hate on the show at all. But we're also going to tell the truth.
Unless you're Gurkha, but...
Yeah, there's that and acid. There's a little hate. A little bit. So that's what we've got for the Tabernacle Night Commander from Foundation Cigars. I think if you like strong cigars and you like foundations and you want to give some money to Ethiopian charity, pick it up. If not, this is one of the lowest ranked cigars we've smoked on the show.
Yeah.
So
lower than the Byron, which is kind of weird.
Don't waste your money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't waste your money. Pick up a different foundation product.
Yeah.
So, man, I think that's it.
Okay.
Of course, here on Burnline Podcast. So thanks for joining us, as always, on Burnline Podcast. Have a great week, and we will see you next week.